And now in the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, I'm going to do something a bit unusual tonight because I'm going to read this entire chapter. I believe it deserves emphasis, and I want to read it all after we pause in a moment of prayer. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful congregation tonight. We are thankful for the power of the gospel of redeeming grace. We are thankful that Thou hast given us a privilege. Thou hast given us the right, the authority to proclaim the truth as we see it from the Word of God. And now we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would take over. The Holy Spirit would move into the aisles and into the hearts of every person here. We're glad tonight that we have liberty and freedom. We're glad tonight that nobody tells us what we can preach or how long we can preach or how we can preach or where we can preach, but that we are just here to proclaim the Word by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And it is our humble prayer tonight that Thou wouldst help us to recognize that without Christ we are nothing. Dear Lord, we pray that the mighty power of the Holy Spirit would move in our midst, because we know that it's not by might nor by power, but by Thy Spirit the job is done. Bless this congregation, members and visitors. May we go away from this place lifted up and built up in the faith. And should there be those without the Savior, may they come to know Him. Those outside the confines of the church, may they come in and identify and take their stand for the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Daniel chapter 4, I begin reading at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are His signs! And how mighty are His wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed with the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, "Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with a beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I've never read anything like that in my life. Somebody said to me one time, "What do you get out of reading the Bible?" "Anything I want. There it is." Somebody said, "Well, I think the Old Testament is dry. Then you need some spiritual oil in your soul." Oh, beloved, tonight I declare unto you that the Bible is the most amazing book in all the world. It thrills our hearts. It directs our pathway. It shows us the way to God. I've never read a story like this. This is the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the greatest king of the heathen world. There is no stretching of the truth here. This is a tract, an account, a treatise on the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar. It was written by Nebuchadnezzar through the prophet Daniel, inspired of God. You see, the amazing thing about the book of God is this. And when we say the Bible is inspired, we mean that the Bible records the truth as it was spoken or as it was written. Whether it be a pagan king or a prophet of Jehovah, it is written because it was spoken as it is written. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Doesn't matter who's doing the speaking or what he's speaking about. The words that are written are inspired. The account is inspired of God. And a pagan king says, "I want to tell you about my conversion." Nebuchadnezzar had stretched his kingdom as far as it would go. He had subdued every kingdom. He had defeated the Egyptians in 605 at the Battle of Carchemish. He had defeated the Assyrians in 612 B.C. He had defeated Judah, that little kingdom yonder by the Mediterranean. He had taken that people into captivity. And all the hordes of the north and south and east and west looked up to Nebuchadnezzar. Even Nebuchadnezzar took the title, believe it or not, he took the title King of Kings. That's what the world thought about Nebuchadnezzar. He had never lost a battle. When he was just a young man in his teens, his father sent him over. Nabonidus sent him over yonder to fight in Jerusalem and to swipe out Egypt while he was over there and to take Assyria while he was there. On his way back home, while he plucked off more enemies on the way back home than most kings went out to get. He defeated more people by accident than many kings defeated on purpose. He's referred to in the book as the servant of Jehovah. God used him to bring these nations under his own control and under his own yoke. He has won all the wars. He has won all the battles. He has about his palace a wall that stretches 250 feet in the air. He has about his palace a wall that's 350 feet wide. And even at its topmost height, it's 80 feet wide, and 6 chariots could ride abreast around the city of Babylon. 100 gates that swung on hinges of gold. He had nothing to worry about. Now he is in his palace. Now he is exalting over the great campaign. I can imagine he said to his first lieutenant, "You remember the city of Jerusalem?" I can imagine he said to another, "Do you remember Egypt? You remember how I wiped out the Pharaoh over there in the battle of Carchemish in the valley of Armageddon?" I can imagine he might have said to another, "Do you remember how we marched into Assyria and that city had 500,000 people and we took it like it was nothing?" All the earth is looking up to Nebuchadnezzar. He's the King of Kings of the East. And he's now in his palace, and he's gloating over it. Every goblet is full of wine. The stereo is in every room of his multi-roomed mansion. The armies of Babylon are standing, waiting for the sound of the trumpet. If anything comes to bother Nebuchadnezzar. And he said in verse 1, "I want to speak to all people, to all the nations, to all the kingdoms, to all the inhabitants of the earth. Peace." It was an era of peace. After all, he had conquered all of the enemies. All the invaders had been turned back. And so he's ready to say, "Peace. I thought it good. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me a pagan king, toward me a heathen king, toward me Nebuchadnezzar. I'm so glad tonight that salvation is for all men." I read in the book of Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9 that Jesus Christ will be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. Yonder when Jesus was born and laid there to be presented to God in the temple, an aging prophet came in and took up the baby Jesus in his arms. And Simeon said, "Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Christ belongs to all men. Christ belongs to all nations. Christ belongs to all peoples. Christ belongs to the world. He's the Savior of Jew and Gentile. He is a pagan king who's telling about his conversion. And he said, "I thought it good to show these signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. Did you ever try sometimes to put in words your conversion? It's so hard to do at times, isn't it? Oh, I'm so glad tonight that our salvation and our experience with God is not a cold, calculating, collected theology, but our salvation is a warm and winsome and wonderful experience with Christ. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for something I couldn't feel in my heart tonight. I wouldn't give you anything for a salvation that's cold and calculating. I want to know something in my soul tonight. I want to know that the living Christ is alive in my heart. The God of heaven was moving in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to tell you about my conversion. So he writes a tract. He writes an account of how he was turned from heathenism and paganism to the true God. Now remember, chapter 4 will be the last time we'll see Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe God took him on to heaven then. I don't know. You know, God has to take some people to heaven right away when they get saved. He does. And then he leaves others to serve. But wait. Nebuchadnezzar says that this great kingdom of God that I'm going to tell you about, what God has put in my heart, is an everlasting kingdom. That great kingdom will last from generation to generation, and his wonders are so mighty that I cannot spell them, I cannot pronounce them. Reminds me of what Paul said. He went through Romans chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, and he was so full, he was ready to give his testimony in chapter 11, and then he just exclaimed, "Oh, the depth, both of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. His ways are past finding out. His judgments are unsearchable. For of him and through him and to him are all things." Paul couldn't even tell. It was so great, he couldn't even utter it. Nebuchadnezzar had experienced something that was so wonderful, so marvelous, so outstanding that he couldn't find words. I thought he's going to tell me in detail. And he just started saying, "How great is the kingdom of God and how marvelous and mighty are his wonders." But I was at rest in mine house, taking it easy. All my armies are around me. The walls are there. I was taking it easy. And all of a sudden, I saw a dream that made me afraid. Can you imagine that? He's conquered Judah. He's conquered Assyria. He's conquered Egypt. He's conquered the other nations. And now he says, "I was afraid." You know, men can build bomb-proof shelters to keep them safe from bombs. They can build bulletproof cars to keep them safe from a stray bullet. They can build fireproof houses to keep them from fire. Now they tell me they are building buildings that'll shake when the earth quakes and nothing happens. A building just sits up there and rocks with the earth. They are building and they can build high, massive walls to contain the sea, to hold back the winds and the waves and the water. But then, let me ask you, how does a man protect himself from a dream? There's no protection. You see, God just reaches down in his bag of terrors and pulls out a dream and says in so many words to Nebuchadnezzar, "You are safe from bombs, you're safe from armies, you're safe from hurricanes, you're safe from earthquakes, but you can't hide from me. Here I am." God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. May I remind you today that God spoke in dreams back in the days before the Bible was written. God has given us his revealed word, and he speaks to us now in this age in the Bible. Amen. But he did speak in dreams. Over in the book of Job, Job talks about how God speaks once and then twice and then even 3 times. You see, some people are hard-headed. God has to speak 3 times to them. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 in a dream, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't turn to God. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3, the fourth man in the furnace, and yet he didn't turn to God. So God comes again in a horrifying dream, and he speaks to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar says, "I'm afraid." The only time God can get some of our attention is when we're asleep. Nebuchadnezzar was too busy otherwise. You and I sometimes find ourselves too busy. But then God comes and speaks in a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar says, "I was horrified, I was terrified, I was afraid." I want to tell you tonight, you don't have anything that can keep the hand of God off your life. You don't have anything that can hold back the piercing daggers of the Word of God. If God can't make you listen to it in a service like this, God will trouble your soul in a dream. God will make your bed restless tonight to give you the truth of His undying Word. Don't try to run away from God, mister. Don't try to hide from Christ. Don't try to get out of the reach of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You can go home, pull down all your shades, and lock all of your doors. But in the midnight hour, while you're at ease, while you're resting, while you're asleep, God can trouble your soul about eternity through a dream. Nebuchadnezzar said, "I was afraid. I dreamed. And I make a decree as a result of this dream. My time's already gone. I haven't gotten started yet." But just let me say to you tonight, just in case you don't get the rest of it next Sunday night, as sure as you're alive, mister, you've got to stand before God. The same God that Nebuchadnezzar gives an account to, you and I must give an account to. The same God that ruled in Nebuchadnezzar's life rules in your life. The same God that ruled in a pagan, heathen country like Babylon will rule in this country before it's all over. The same God will come into your heart and into your life. And one of two things will happen to you. Number one, you will hear the tender, small voice of God speaking to you. And you'll surrender and give your life to Christ and your heart to God and your life to the church. Or else, one day God will speak through the voice of thunder and lightning and judgment and wrath, and then it will be too late. Don't wait for that horror to come. Stand in awe tonight in the presence of God. Stand with fear and trembling before Him who is the judge of the universe. The Lord willing, we'll share the story of this dream and its meaning next week. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father tonight, oh, how our hearts beat anxiously as we wait upon Thee. We pray tonight, Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit would pierce the hearts of men here in this congregation. We can't do it. We've nothing to say. We've nothing to do with it. It must be the power of the Spirit and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Pierce it into hearts of men and women and boys and girls and young people, members and visitors alike. And dear God, where there are those without Christ, may they come to know Him. Where there are those tonight who need to rededicate their lives and surrender their all to Christ, may they listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Where there are those, Heavenly Father, who need to come and unite with the fellowship of this church and be a part of a program that brags on Jesus and sends the gospel around the world and evangelizes and witnesses, dear God, I pray that they would come tonight and unite with this fellowship. Thou knowest our hearts. Thou hast already read our thoughts. Thou knowest where we stand. Thou knowest who we are, what street we live on, what our standing and status is before Thee. Thou knowest how near eternity we are. Thou knowest how soon the death angel will come and will knock on our door. Thou knowest how soon we will stand at the judgment bar Dear God, I pray that we'd not mix words and mince words tonight, but that we'd just speak boldly and plainly the truth, that Jesus Christ is coming and death is coming and judgment is coming. Help us, dear Lord, to give ourselves to this high and holy task of witnessing and sharing our faith and evangelizing through the ministry of the church. Grant, O God, thy will to be done in this invitation while we wait upon thee is our prayer in Jesus' name. Before we sing, let me speak to you. First, I address myself to you who may be here without Christ. There would not be a better time. God has done everything he can do. Jesus finished the work upon the cross for your salvation. It's up to you. Let me address myself to those of you who are Christians. These are perilous days in which we live. The coming of Christ is imminent. At any moment, he may break through the sky. What about your life? What about your home? What about your testimony? What about your family? What about your business? What about your own individual experience? What about your service through the ministry of the church? Is it pleasing, acceptable, profitable to God? I address myself, thirdly, to those of you who may not be members of the church, but you're seeking a church home. I invite you to come tonight and unite with the Fellowship of Worth Baptist by letter from another Baptist church, or on your statement of having been saved and baptized under the auspices of a Baptist church, or by baptism from another denomination, or perhaps you've never joined any church. You are saved. You'd like to become a member of this church and you've never been baptized. We invite you to come. Come to pray. Maybe there's a prayer in your heart for your family, for your home, for your neighbor, for revival, for your country. Come on tonight while we sing hymn number 248, while we sing the first stanza. Who'll be first to come while we sing right now?